Today we're going to talk about being radiant. This is something we talk about, but I checked my notes and we haven't talked about this for a couple of years. So it'll be fun to get into it today. We'll start in Psalm 77, if you want to look at that. Here in Psalm 77, we'll start here. It says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. He listened. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. So he was having a tough time. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Ever had a night like that where you had a trouble sleeping? You were all worried about this and worried about that. So many different things in life can cause worries and concerns and just upset you. So he was having a very tough time. He says, I remembered God and was troubled. He remembered God, but he still had problems, so he was sort of mad at God. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. I was just completely overwhelmed. Verse 4, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled, I cannot speak. He was having a very, very tough time. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. So he was thinking of the good old days. I called to remembrance my song in the night. He was thinking all about his life. He was focusing on his life when things were better. He was mad at God. He couldn't figure out why things were good then and they're bad now. And then he says in verse 6, I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? So to sort of summarize what he was doing, he was looking to himself. He was thinking about his own life. Back when I was a teenager, I think we used terms like contemplate your navel, just sit and think about yourself. And the result was he was miserable, because whenever any of us just spend all our time looking at our lives and ourselves, we're going to see shortcomings. We're going to see problems. We're going to see difficulties.
Julie Stoneham has left the conference.
And that's going to make us very uncomfortable. We're going to be miserable. I was thinking today about another set of verses, which I don't think are in the notes today, about forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. Because if we think about ourselves, we're going to think about mistakes we made, things people did to us, opportunities we had that we didn't take, stuff that we wanted to work out that didn't work out, and we'll tend to just be miserable if we spend too much time thinking about ourselves. So, getting back to verse 7 here, will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? You see, he's looking at his own problems, his own life. He's getting all miserable. He's thinking the good old days were better, and why isn't God helping me? But the problem is, he's focusing on his problems. He's not focusing on God. We'll get to that. Because the thing in this first section of being radiant every day is that if you look to yourself, you're just going to get miserable. And then as the psalm goes on, he starts to figure it out. So in verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my problem. That the good old days were better and God seems to have forgotten about me. And I got all these problems. I can't sleep. But verse 10, he says, I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll think about those times when I did trust God, and I did get answers to prayer. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary, for who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So, again, to sort of summarize, he looked to himself, he looked to his problems, he just was miserable. Another verse along these lines is in Proverbs 18, verse 2. Not identical, but sort of the same theme. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. You see, a fool, all he does is think about his own life. And that's foolish. Now, it's a good thing to sort of understand yourself and know your limits and that kind of thing. But if that's all you do is think about your own life, and that it'll be the same thing we saw in Psalm 77, you'll just be miserable. Or like it says here, you're a fool. So looking to yourself and spending all the time focusing on your life is not a good idea. You'll tend to get miserable. Now looking to others, you'll tend to get distracted. Psalm 73. Because there's always, I tell this people all the time, and I tell myself, there's always somebody smarter than you and somebody not as smart as you. There's always somebody wealthier than you and somebody not as well off as you. There's always somebody more popular or famous than you and somebody less popular or less famous. So competing with others is just silly. Enjoy you, yourself, where you are, and ask God to help you to move on from there. It's like we've talked many times. Everybody has a different part to play in the body, and everybody that's honest about it realizes there's something, things they do really well in the body of Christ, and other things they're not very good at. So don't be all upset that you don't do what somebody else can do in the body. Be thankful that you have your part to play. It can be a small part, a huge part. It can affect a lot of people. It can affect one or two people. Doesn't matter. Whatever part you can play, you do that. And then if you want to grow to another area of service, just pray that God will help you. But at the end of the day, each of us has different abilities, different skills, different aptitudes, and God's going to open different doors for us. And it used to bother me when I saw a Christian brother or sister that was really good at something I wasn't, but then I finally just quit fighting it. I do the things that I feel I'm good at, and the way I can serve, and the way God leads me, and I don't worry about everything else. You know, God will take care of everybody else. That's his job to take care of the whole body of Christ, God and his son, Jesus Christ. My job is to serve my part in the body of Christ. And comparing myself to others is just not worthwhile. Because nobody else is me. I'm me. I'm the only one that can be me. And I just have to do the best job of being me I can. And somebody else can figure out how to be them. That's their job. Psalm 70, it's like that, you know, if you have a job in a big company, say you work in accounting, you're probably very good at adding the numbers up. You're probably very good at adding the numbers up, but you may be no good at operating the machinery or doing customer service or one of the other thousands of things you have at a company. Well, just get into doing the accounting well. That's your job. Let somebody else worry about running the machinery. On the other hand, if your job is running the machines, don't worry about how the accountants are doing. That's their job. Well, in the body of Christ, it's the same with us. We all have different things we do. So let's read Psalm 73. Point being, we don't want to get distracted by looking to others. Psalm 73 and verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was just about to fall over and crash and burn. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That's what goofed him up. He was paying attention to other people. It's so easy to get distracted. Like I was talking to a friend of mine who talked about a fella he knew in years ago in a fellowship who does doing all kinds of teaching, just talking about how sneaky the devil is. And that's all the guy talks about. Well, it does say in the Word, we should not be envious of the devil's devices, but you're going to spend all your time talking about the devil? That's sort of glorifying him. We should be aware of the way he operates, but then focus on the goodness of God and not glorify the devil by talking about him all the time, because that's what he wants, is he wants people to talk about how big and tough and strong and smart he is. Well, he is pretty big and tough and smart, but not as anywhere near as strong as God or his son Jesus Christ. And even we, remember what it says in 1 John, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So I'm not going to spend all my time looking at the thinking and talking about the devil and getting distracted. That'd be silly. He doesn't deserve that much thought. It's like if you go hiking in the woods. Are there bees? Are there occasionally a snake or some kind of little woodland creature that could get in your way or annoy you? Sure. But when you go out hiking, do you spend all your time worried about, you know, stepping on a little lizard? No, you'd never enjoy your hike. You wouldn't even go. You'd stay at home. They're there. But you just keep your eyes open and pray and wear thick boots so you can stomp on them if you have to. You don't spend your whole life worrying about something like that. Same thing if you sit on your front porch. You don't spend your whole life worrying about the mosquitoes. You know, take a can of bug spray or light a candle or do something. But don't spend your whole life. Why ruin your time on the front porch because there might be a mosquito? We just don't want to look at things that are negative and focus on them. What does it say in Philippians? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. That's exactly what we do. We just don't worry about other stuff. So getting back to Psalm 73, verse 3, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 4, for there are no bands or pangs of pain in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, richness, and they have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore as people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And they existed then, and they exist now. But we just can't be distracted by them. Because whatever they're doing is their problem. Our responsibility is to look to God. Verse 13, verily, truly, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. So when he looked to others, he just got distracted and he got so mad at what other people were doing. And you see people like this. They're so angry about what's going on in the society. Or because a political movement they don't like is getting more press than the political movement they do like. Or something happening in the economy, that some part of the economy is doing well and not the part they're in. People just get so upset about everything. But they get distracted. They shouldn't be. It's okay to be aware of what's going on, but don't get obsessed with what's going on like this guy did. He saw all these wicked people getting rich and being happy, and he was working so hard and not doing as well, and he just got distracted. So verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until, this is where the plot changes, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins and my thoughts. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God, and I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So just like in Psalm 77, he was having a terrible time. Psalm 77, the guy was miserable because he was looking to himself. Psalm 73, this guy was very distracted because he was paying attention to others. And in both cases, it was when they turned around and looked to God that they did better. And let's look at another verse along these lines in 2 Corinthians. So the psalm was mostly talking about getting distracted by looking at the ungodly. But this 2 Corinthians 10 is a different one. Because it's talking about paying attention to other people in the body of Christ. Because if you notice, there's often contention in the body of Christ. I mean, the history of the Christian church is unfortunately contention and division. People get mad at each other for all kinds of things. Some doctrinal, meaning what they believe the Bible means. Some sort of structural, you know, how should we be organized and what groups should we be in. And most of them just end up being personal. Somebody is mean to me, so I don't like them, so I'm not going to be with them. But at the end of the day, rather than focusing on other people, we just need to look to God and not worry about it. It's not our responsibility to oversee the body of Christ. It's our responsibility to trust God ourselves and then spend time fellowshipping and working along with whatever believers God puts it on our heart to spend with. And you want to be with believers that A, you can help, and B, they can help you also. Then that's the way the body of Christ should work. But if you're with a group that they don't want your help and they're not doing anything for you, why would you want to do that? Unless God told you to be there, why would you want to do that? So here in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. There were those in the body of Christ that commended themselves. They were saying, look how good I am. Look how spiritual I am. Look what a great believer I am. Look at me. I'm so much better than you are. So we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You know, if we got together every week and sort of took score, well, I got 3 answers to prayer. Well, I got 4 answers to prayer. Well, I spoke the word to 6 people. Well, I spoke it to 8 people. Well, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, like we say, we've often said, this isn't in the Bible, I think it fits with the scriptures. You just do your best and God will keep score. And, you know, we have eternal life no matter what the score is. So we don't compare ourselves against each other. I don't come out and say, I did this better. And you don't come out and say, I do this a whole lot better than Bruce. And no, that's not what we do. We don't compare ourselves against each other. We just walk with God and do the best we can. Because they, measuring themselves by themselves, are not wise. So to summarize so far, if you look to yourself and spend too much time contemplating your own navel, your own life, you'll get miserable. If you spend too much time thinking about other people and wondering why they're so prosperous when you're having such a hard time, or why they're so devilish when you're so godly, or anything like that, you're just going to be distracted. Even within the body of Christ, if you look at other believers and other Christian groups and say, are we doing as well as them? We got to beat them on this and blah, blah, blah. You'll just be distracted from God. But if you look to God, that's when you'll be peacefully radiant. And that's what we want to do every day. Because I can't control sometimes how I feel. And I can't control my circumstances all the time. I can have some effect on them. And I can't control how other people around me are doing. But what I can do is work with my mind to look to God. Then I can be peacefully radiant every single day. And in Psalm 34, we'll read about this. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and what did he do? He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So that's what we do if we have fears. We seek the Lord. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened. In many of the translations, it reads, they were radiant. They just glowed because they looked to God. And the light, sort of like the moon. The moon has no light source of its own, but it reflects back the sun shining on it. Well, this is a similar thing. They looked to God, and looking to God, his light just lit up their faces. They were radiant. They looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want, no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord what? Heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of how many? All. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So let's go back to verse 4 again. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. So if you want to be radiant, if you just want your life lit up, look to God. Don't spend your time thinking about the problems in your life or how good things were in the good old days. Don't spend your time thinking about how better off everybody else is and you're in a mess. That'll just be distracting. But you look to the Lord, then you're peacefully radiant. Let's go to Isaiah 26 and verse 3, if you would go there, please. Okay, here in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. A very familiar verse. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. The on thee is actually in italics, but in the context it fits. But the word stayed means steady or fixed. You just have to get your mind steady or fixed. Reminds me sometimes when you're with a young baby and the baby will just stare at you and maybe hold your finger, and people can walk by and talk, and the baby is so fixated on looking at you, their mind is fixed. Or sometimes you see somebody watching a sport event. They're so fixated to see how the next play is going to go that they don't even notice anything around them. We all have things we sort of fixate on. Well, let's fixate on God. Let's keep our minds very steady. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, steady, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So we look to God, we'll be radiant, and we'll be peaceful. So just imagine sitting in a chair somewhere, or walking down the street somewhere, or whatever you're doing, wherever you are, and no matter what's going on around you, no matter if you're having the best day or the worst day of your life, no matter whether everybody's really nice to you or totally ignoring you, you are peacefully radiant because you're looking to God. And then whatever it is that may be troubling you, you just pray and God comes through for you. He may not come through that instant. He may not come through in the way you thought, but he will come through for you and take care of you. Hebrews 12. A little more about talking about where we should focus. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's where we look. We look to God and his Son, Jesus Christ. We think about him. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Think about what he went through. Do we have challenges? Sure. Do we get worn out mentally and want to give up? Sure. But just think about what Jesus Christ went through, and then all of a sudden our burdens don't seem quite as bad. So verse 2, let's read right through 2 to 4. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Didn't say it was joyful that he was being beaten and crucified, but he saw the joy to come. He saw the hope of that. See, he had the hope of his being raised from the dead. We now have the hope of him returning when we'll be raised from the dead. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know, we've never been captured and beaten senseless and crucified. We've had tough days and challenges, but we haven't gone through that. But Jesus Christ did. And he still trusted God and came out and brought us deliverance. Hebrews 3, in verse 1. Hebrews 3, in verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Think about him. Think about, again, what he did. Think about what a great example he did. Think about how faithful he was to walk with God and carry out his ministry and serve God's people. What a great thing to look at. See, that's an example we can always look at. Then 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And I know that's a bit of a what we call an oxymoron or contradiction in terms, but it's a great figure. Because physically we can't look at things which are not seen, but in our minds we can focus on them. I mean, no man has seen God at any time. God is spirit. We can't physically look at him. But in our minds, we can focus on the scriptures that speak of his love and faithfulness and great power and strength and ability to deliver us in every situation. And that's what we look to. So here again in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Anything you can see is temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. Things you see may be good, you know, and they may last a very long time. Things you see may disappear tomorrow. But the things you can't see, the things of God, they haven't changed. The day of Pentecost, people were born again and spoke in tongues for the first time. Here we are about 2,000 years later, and we can still get born again and speak in tongues. It hasn't changed. Think of how many empires have come and gone. Think of how many armies have marched. Think of changes in science and technology and medicine and political structures. So many things have changed. Yet, you can still get born again and speak in tongues. That's why we look at the things which are not seen, the things of God. Verse 18 again. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. And then one more to close here in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1. If, and that is a funny grammatical thing, I won't bore you with the details, but it can very legitimately be translated since. Since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We know physically we're still on the earth, but as far as God's concerned, when Christ was raised, was crucified, we're crucified with him. So we're dead to sins. Then when he was raised, we're raised with him. And when he ascended into heaven to sit on the right hand of God, we're there with him. Now, physically, we're still here on earth. And it says, I think in Ephesians, that we're ambassadors for Christ. But our home is with Christ in the heavenly places. And when the Lord returns, then we'll be raised with newly changed bodies that are immortal and incorruptible, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's our real place. Think if your real home was Washington, D.C., where some of us live very close to it, but then you're sent off to be the ambassador to pick a place, Ethiopia. Okay, you're living in Ethiopia. You're doing a job for your home country, the United States. But even if you spend 10 years in Ethiopia, you're still an American. Your home is still Washington, D.C., and as soon as your service as an ambassador is over, you're going to go back to Washington, D.C., back to your home. Well, our home is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. We're here as ambassadors for Christ, and this is temporary. For the average person, it's usually 100 years or less, sometimes a lot less, sometimes a little bit less, but that's our time of service as ambassadors. But then we go home to be with the Lord in the air, and that is forever. And I know there's some changes. We're going to come back for the Battle of Armageddon, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but we'll still be forever with the Lord. So then let's keep reading. So verse 3, if or since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection, your mind, your thoughts on things above, not on things on the earth. Nothing wrong with things on the earth. God's given them us to enjoy, so we should richly enjoy them, but they shouldn't be the total end of what we're doing. You know, maybe it's like if you're driving out to the beach for a vacation. You may enjoy the car you're riding in. You may enjoy the snack you got when you made a gas stop. But that's not the whole purpose of the trip. You enjoy that, and you should enjoy that, but your point is get to the beach and enjoy that. That's really the goal of the trip you're on. Well, and same with us. We're sort of on a journey. What's that old song, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through"? We're on a journey where it talks in Hebrews about God's people in the Old Testament knew they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but they sought a country. They sought a place to live eternally. And we know from the book of Revelation that's going to be the new heaven and new earth that'll show up after the Battle of Armageddon, after the Great White Throne Judgment. And that's where we'll live forever. So let's enjoy the ride. Let's enjoy every good thing God gives us. But let's remember that we're just on a journey which will end in the Lord coming back and us being forever with the Lord. So we keep our eyes on God. They looked unto him and were radiant. Those that have their mind stayed in God have perfect peace. We look to Jesus, consider what he endured. We consider him, since he is the apostle and high priest. We don't look at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. And we set our minds and thoughts on things above, not on the earth. Well, there's a second part to this teaching where the conclusion of all this is that we just love God. But we don't have time today, so when we meet next time, I'll do a review of what we did today, and then we'll go into the section on the importance of loving God as a way to keep our minds focused on him so that we're peacefully radiant. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful saints, for their wonderful, wonderful love for you, for the joy of looking at your word together. May we have a great 2 weeks trusting you, expecting your blessings every day. May we not be distracted by our own challenges. May we not be distracted by others, whether they succeed or fail. But may we instead look to you, knowing that you're the one who gives us peace and makes us live radiant, wonderful, enjoyable lives. Thank you for this. May we continue to pray for one another and rejoice in your goodness every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, God bless you, wonderful saints. If the Lord tarries, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Bruce.